Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Last night you were saying that this is like something that's been happening for a while now.
Anything could start it. We get into these like conflict patterns.
He is always questioning my alcohol intake. So if you're gonna question my alcohol intake, I'm gonna start questioning your intake of what you do.
You do keep talking about how he's like doing drugs. And obviously we know how like sensitive just the word drugs is with him given his past.
100%. I bring it up because I find it to be hypocritical. If you're gonna judge me for drinking alcohol,
yeah,
then why can't I also question you for smoking weed?
It feels like it keeps coming back to that.
But
like,
don't
it's like
you
you're
see
fighting
that that's
about
like a little hypocritical?
Yeah, and I get it, but it seems like you're not
I was
always specifying.
No, last night I was very specific with him.
With me.
No, but I was very specific with him last night. I was not like questioning him doing drugs. I said, did you smoke weed today?
Episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry. Today, we're talking Summer House, our crown jewel of Bravo. I think it might be. I mean, should I talk about the final part of the Beverly Hills reunion? No, because Kyle Richards didn't want to. This was such a buildup, I felt like, for nothing. I just find myself a little bit frustrated, and I find that with, like, Kyle specifically, there is this protection, this bubble, this whatever, in which she is constantly demanding that people be honest and forthright about what's going on in their lives, but then as soon as, like, this has really been the first year where she's been called to the carpet in a way that she, like, that probably, like, she can't, I don't want to say that she can't defend, because I'm not going to, like, throw out the theory that, like, Kyle is the reason for this breakup, but I feel like it in the sense that she has no problem throwing her sisters under the bus, but when it comes to her relationship, it's like suddenly none of our business. But we've seen the ups and downs of this relationship. Y'all have been like the crown jewel of Bravo. We've seen anniversaries and blah, 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 this, that, and the third. And then I can understand, like, this is a very deeply painful situation. You've been with this man a good part or most of your life. You've had this whole family that you built together. I understand that it's painful, girl, but to me, that's frustrating, and I think we all agree, is this, what do you call it? Like, there's a forgetfulness to her, there's an amnesia, a selective amnesia that happens with Kyle, where she will do things like do this video with Morgan. And I really need to go back and like check the timeline on this, because I feel like Kyle has been getting away with telling a murky timeline with regard to this whole situation. I think that they did that video and there was like, at first they wanted to act like, oh, this was us clapping back at the rumors and the nastiness about me and Morgan. But then she's saying, oh, this was actually like a favor that I was doing for Morgan, because she came and sang at my friend's memorial. I did this video for her. I didn't know what the concept was going to be until I got there. And I was like a little bit freaked out, but then they showed in their reunion this interview that they did on set from the music video, where she's saying like, yeah, like we're doing this as a direct result of the rumors that are going on about us. So I just feel like she just is able to get away with being evasive in a way that I find frustrating. Like, I do think there is absolutely a way that you can be on national television, on a reality TV, you can be in Kyle's position and be open, but not like tell everything. But I just think like she kind of gets off on these like vague, he did something and I can't trust him and whatever. Like, Who did he fuck? You don't want to say that, and now it's none of our fucking business. And I don't know, I just like thought it was whack. I think most of us came out of this agreeing. Now, my frustration with a lot of Beverly Hills fans, Kyle fans specifically, is that they moved the goalpost right along with her, and I've seen people being like, who are we to ask her questions? Excuse me? Maybe this is sick of me, but I feel like at this point, some of these people are like government officials. Like, I pay your salary, ma'am, and I'm owed some answers. And am I joking? Not really. But not really. Now that I've said it, I'm like, actually, I kind of agree with myself. But with that being said, I mean, I feel like that's all I have to say. They brought Kathy out, and I feel like Kathy spoke more in part three than Anna Marie, Erica, Garcelle, Dorit, really everybody except for Kyle and Sutton, all three parts. Like, she had a whole chunk, and she did not film not Nan 1 second of the last season. So that's wild. You guys, Dorit can't come back, right? Like, we already know Anne Marie is like... We don't even talk about it. Like, girl, bye. She probably didn't even have a trailer to change back into her normal clothes before they ended the reunion. But I just feel like Dorit can't come back. I feel like Crystal has really stepped her pussy up. I know that a lot of people, like, she's a little bit divisive. I've always liked her, but I do feel like she really found her voice in, like, a lot of ways. She not only found her voice, but she found the bass in her voice as well. And so I just think, like, we should see that for another season. Other than that, like, other than Dorit not coming back, I don't, we can keep everybody else. I mean, and Marie, but like I said, that's a non-motherfucking factor. Anyway, is there any other thing that I have to say about that? Oh, you know, like, I could talk about the fact that Trishelle was on Watch What Happens Live, and Andy asked her about whether or not she felt like Dorit and Garcelle could find some sort of common ground, because Dorit keeps playing in Garcelle's goddamn face. And Trishelle, who has, you know, had some heat to her little feet recently for her situation with Peppermint on The Traitors, has said that, I mean, she kind of handed it to her and basically was like, I think that Dorit could really benefit from some unconscious bias training, because I'm thinking about getting my own coach, and I think that that would really benefit from her, for her, be a benefit for her. And if she were to do that, I do think Garcelle would be open to it. And I found that to be refreshing and surprising, I will say. Better a soundbite from somebody who's still thinking about getting an unconscious bias coach than Stassi's little stint on the Tamron Hall show after the months of racial training that she had claimed to receive. I mean, was it petty for me to mention that? Yes. Was I going to? Yes. All right. And with that, let's get into Summer House, where it's actually fun. Despite the fact that the two longstanding couples in the house should absolutely not be together, I'm having the time of my life. So let's get into it. We're starting in, cruising right into the Hamptons, right? It's our, I would say, A team at this point. Sierra, Gabby, West, and Jesse. They're all driving up together. West and Jesse are like full on besties. They've been hanging all out all week. But most importantly, we did have our date with Sierra and West. And Gabby's like, how'd it go? And he's like, oh yeah, you know, like we went out to two bars after the restaurant. Did you guys kiss? Yeah, we kiss. And it's like, ooh, what's going on, right? And I'm thinking, like, what is going on? Because I'm feeling something. But more on that later. Carl and Lindsay arrive first to the house. And it is, like, just drudgery, right? Carl's trying to make the best of it. He's being very light and bright. And let's have fun. You know, more life, Carl, which we know is very triggering for Lindsay. But Lindsay's, like, she's doing that thing where she just is over it. This is a random story, but the other day, not the other day, this was like last year, 2 years ago, it was a long time ago. But anyway, I was waiting for the ferry and there was a couple directly in front of me waiting in line. And they, I don't know what this man did to her, but she was fucking pissed. Okay. And even from the back, I could tell from her body language that she was like, wanting to throw him into the East River. And he was not picking up on the signs to the point where I wanted to be like, dude, stop it. Like, we can all see this. Why can't you? That's your girlfriend. And I can see from her back that she does not want you. And he was doing like the worst thing, like glomming it on so thick, like, hey, baby. And like putting his arms around her shoulders and kissing her like a little toddler. And her, it was so, she was so tense. It was winter and I could still practically see the muscles in her back were so tense. Like, I don't want this man to touch me, but I also don't want to pop off in front of all these people. And that's kind of where Lindsay's at. She's like, I don't want to even, I would like to, like, Calgon, take me away. I don't want to exist in a world in which Carl is here smiling at me. Like, he is truly her bitch eating crackers. So Carl's like, come on, babe, hang out with me. And she's like, what do you want me to do, man? Lindsay says in a confessional that they're kind of like COVID times at this point, in the sense that Carl doesn't have a job and he's always home and they're just on top of each other a lot. And you really need space to miss each other and a time away. A way to breathe. And then they share house on the weekend. So it's just like, okay, hi. Paige is not going to be here. She's in Albany for the weekend. Moving on. Back in the car. Wes is like, or no, they're in the house now. Wes is like downloading the boys on what happened on his date with Sierra. And he's like, you guys, I was sweating real hard. I mean, thank God he wore mesh. Imagine what if he wore a less breathable fabric. He is like, I was sweating like a grandpa. I was using cocktail napkins a whole date to, you know, help with my sweat. But they're like, are you going to ask her out again? He's like, yeah, totally. Why didn't he seal the deal at the end of day one? I feel like that's a little bit of a misstep, Wes. That's the only one you've had so far. The only one. So meanwhile, Sierra is telling the girls her side of the story. And she tells them like, oh yeah, we definitely kissed. And Lindsay wants every minute details, starting with, was it better than me? And Sierra's like, mm-hmm. And all the girls, Lindsay, what have you been doing to them? All the girls have to be like, yeah, Lindsay, you're very tongue forward when you kiss. It's just like kind of a lot. So Sierra tells her, okay, the kiss lasted 5 seconds. How long was it like this? She takes Gabby's face. Lindsay takes Gabby's face. Was it like this? 5 seconds. No, she's like, it was like five Mississippis, you know, push, pull, touching, pecking, that sort of thing. And then Kyle really makes me scream because he basically confirmed my theory that he and Amanda were like kind of letting their relationship issues fly under the radar because of all the shit going on with Carl and Lindsay. But then he says that they had gone to a wedding, that they had sort of like an emotional reset, and, you know, they were touching each other's hands at the vows and squeezing each other at the important parts or whatever. Okay. So Carl's hearing this and he's like, oh, okay, you're welcome, I guess. So then Carl is like, he's just smiling through the pain. He really is. He says to the guys, in a weird way, I'm glad that Lindsay and I fought because we needed to get that off our chest. Like, we have our moments and it's not always alcohol related, which I think he tried to say as though that was a good thing. And it isn't. Like, it's bad enough that you have all these alcohol-related moments, but you're saying that there are additional ones that have nothing to do with alcohol, and that's even worse. So then he mentions that he wanted to do the sober bar, right? He had told Lindsay about that and his other business opportunities, but Lindsay basically shut it down immediately. So Kyle asked him, how did that feel when she shut you down? And he's like, you know, kind of put the wind out of my sails a little bit. Like, she was concerned about me pigeonholing myself in the sober world with, like, you know, motivational speeches, the bars, etc. I do hear Lindsay's point. Here's my thing, which is why, here's my issue with Lindsay. It's her delivery. Like, when he was talking about that sober sports bar, and I'm thinking, like, if I'm sitting at that stool next to him and I'm in Lindsay's shoes, I'd be like, I don't know about this either, my guy. But it's her delivery and this, like, no, I'm going to have to shut it down. And probably things that we haven't heard that are not gentle. And I think I've talked about this. Like, I am, like, a former, very sensitive, current sensitive person. And you just have to deliver things in a very different way. Especially to people who are not necessarily, like, self-starters and, like, motivators. But, I mean, so many of these issues between both of them, we could all roll our eyes at and be like, you guys knew this going into the relationship. So it would really stand to question, like, why you thought any of this behavior would change. And, again, like, that question would go for both of you. Like, Andy or somebody at Bravo, can you say Kara from New York wants to know if you guys knew each other's bad qualities going into the relationship, what made you think that those were going to be any different? So Kyle tells Carl, well, Lindsay should at least be able to be willing to have a conversation with you about it instead of just rejecting it and leaving it right there. Carl says at the end of the day, he needs to, like, genuinely make a decision about his career in less than a year or so. He doesn't disagree with her necessarily, but he also thinks that she just doesn't really listen to him. So the house decides to go out, right? And they really made sure to show us that Lindsay was asking before they left, hey, you guys, you want to take a vodka shot before we head into the Uber? Everybody, when they get to the restaurant, are we doing dirty martini vibes tonight? Just me? Everybody? So Lindsay then decides to do a toast to the good vibes. I don't know why she keeps doing this, like, surfer hang 10 move to, like, as an example of her being very chill, because it really is now, like, a warning shot for me is, like, oh, something bad's about to happen. She did the hang loose and now I gotta go. This is her new activation sign. So then, like, you know when Shep, like, when his knee really gets to popping and shaking and gets real shaky and nervous that he's really about to say something, like, disgusting, mostly probably to a woman, and then maybe also to Craig, but that's how you know. He gets revved up, right? So she's revving up with her good vibes hand, and she's like, you know, I want to do toasts, good vibes, good house energy, and camaraderie. And it was never more clear to me than in this moment that Carl and West are, or excuse me, Jesse and West are literally Carl and Kyle 2.0. Because when she says, I want to toast to camaraderie, Jesse goes, I can't even say it, it's so douchey. Ew. I have to let it out before I say it. He goes, see, Rod? As in, like, a shortened term for camaraderie. Help us all. And then Lindsay starts talking about how, like, the male energy in the house is really good, and Carl had been barking earlier in the day, and so as she's talking about the male energy, somebody was like, oh, Lindsay, do you want to hear Carl bark again? She goes, no, I don't want to hear Carl's barking, because I might give the ring back. And they show everybody's reaction at the table, like, damn, Gina, what the fuck? Ooh, girl. And then when she's done with her good vibe speech, she swallows, like, half of her martini in one go before ordering another one. After that, Jesse tries to kind of low-key see what Paige is up to by being like, hey, what's Paige It wasn't that low-key because he literally did ask, what is Paige up to this weekend? But you know what I mean. He was trying to flirt with her, right? And we all knew it. So Sierra's like, wouldn't you like to know Jesse Solomon? So Lindsay does call him out and is like, it really kind of seems like you have a thing for Paige. And she is a taken woman. So Sierra looks over at Jesse and says, I'm going to give you a slight warning because Craig is coming up next week. Maybe you don't need to be wondering what Paige is up to. Maybe we stop that. So then, Jesse, Cap, Major Cap. Well, I was just being friendly to her like I'm friendly to everybody. And then he says in a confessional, listen, I was initially attracted to Paige, but, you know, am I the type of guy who goes for a girl who has a boyfriend? I mean, considering that's basically what you said about Paige specifically, that it was like your specialty to be Mr. Steal Your Girl. Yeah. I mean, I didn't make that up. You told us. That's not something that I came up with. But then he goes on to be like, everybody must have just thought, oh, you know, Paige is gorgeous. I have this great smile. Our kids would be really cute. But everybody relax. And then we go back to the table and Lindsay's martini spills. So everybody, they decide to go from the restaurant out, except for Amanda, who, you know, was operating in a toot when they got to the restaurant, and it's been a slow decline since then. So she decides to go home, right? And we see them at the club for about 2 seconds. Do, 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 before Carl comes back in the house.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hush befalls the summer house. Lindsay comes in a few seconds later. So Amanda's still up. So she goes downstairs because she's like, I want to hear the mess, right? She was in the bedroom. So she's like down at the foot of the stairs at the like front door. And they come downstairs, right? Oh, but first, Lindsay goes up in the bedroom and asks Carl if he can help her unzip her dress. And he goes, no, I can't. So she goes, should I sleep in another room? And he goes, it's up to you. So then she has like, he's got an attitude. It's like, he tells her, you accused me of doing drugs again. She goes, no, I didn't. Carl says, it's so fucked up. So Carl says in a confessional that what happened was, and again, go pros. Like, what's going on here, guys? Part of the thorn in the paw, if you will, of this being like a more realistic show is that we don't get the GoPros because they're bringing like whatever rental cars that they're getting through some sort of sponsorship deal every summer. I mean, let's be real. That's what happens. Like, you think they're just pulling up with a fucking $60,000 Suburban for 3 months and all of a sudden they got another car? No. Okay. So because of that, because of like the reality of the fact that these are like actual working people in the city coming into the Hamptons, that we don't get these cars. But I think what needs to happen is that, like, okay, you bring the cars into the Hamptons. But after that, maybe we need to have a couple people in production driving y'all to and from the club or, you know, in like something so that we can get eyes on what the hell's going on. And I can't believe this. I feel like I'm saying this for the first time, but in a situation where there are like, he says, she said, I'm inclined to believe, based on what we actually get to see, that what he's saying might be a little bit more closer to the truth than what she's saying. And I hate to see it. Even with Carl, I don't want to have to say that. Also, as a side note, like, are we all on the same page that we don't think that Lindsay and Carl have been sharing a bedroom back in the city? And this is why it might be so easy for them. It just seems like a regular conversation for them. Like, should I go to the other room? I think I don't. It's not really giving that they were sleeping together. And then it really made me think when Lindsay was on the Vile Files, I think she had mentioned how, like, in the, when they got back from the summer house that final weekend and, like, before the cameras came and they broke up in that, like, day and a half, that he had slept in another room and he'd, like, snuck into the room and, like, or rather, like, he had did, like, he came into the apartment but, like, did not announce himself and had just gone into another room. And I don't know. At the time, I remember thinking, she doesn't think that that's weird. It seemed like she found that to be more normal than what I would think for a couple who would spend the night with each other and share a bed with each other every night. She was just like, oh yeah. Because like, if I'm sharing a bed with my partner every night and one night they don't even really announce themselves and then go into the other room all night, close the door, don't say anything, and then dip the next morning, I'd be like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I wouldn't even be able to sleep. So the way she was telling it, I'm like, oh, okay. Things were really coming together to me. Did you guys also pick up on, did you get that vibe as well? Let me know. like there's, and there are a lot of, like, Lindsay kind of saying out the side of her mouth that, like, she's not, you know, her love tank's not being filled, you know, like, dame más gasolina. Doesn't seem like she's getting any. I don't know. Anyway, so Carl tells us in a confessional that after dinner, he just wanted to go home. Lindsay got in the car with him and was, like, grilling him, asking him what was wrong over and over and over. He just was like, I just had a long day. I'm tired. But apparently that answer was not good enough for Lindsay. So she kept asking him. And so he was like, how many drinks have you had? And so she was like, well, what are you on? And he's like, I'm shaking right now because it's just not okay. It's not okay. So for Lindsay to accuse me of drugs, like, that's not okay when I'm not doing that. So he tells her, we'll talk tomorrow. And then Lindsay says, but did you smoke weed? And Carl says, yeah, but I didn't tonight. So then Lindsay calls him the biggest gaslighter. Now we have to picture this. We all don't watch the show. So they're in their bedroom. Carl is trying to go to bed. He's, like, you know, adjusting his pillows, pulling the sheets up, you know, his shirt's off, his titties are out. Like, he's trying to go to bed, right? And she's standing above him, like, on the other side of the bed, but she's, like, talking at him. And she says, you're the biggest gaslighter. You're literally like Sandoval right now. And Carl bolts out of the bed. You guys, I just had lunch with Troy McKeady. And he said the way he don't wake daddied himself out of that bed after she called him Sandoval. Like, back immediately straight. I'm out. Okay? I am out of here. That was such a wild thing for her to say. She wants to be Ariana so bad. Anyway, so then Carl's like, listen, I'm not going to get in a fight with you. You've been drinking. And Lindsay says, you know, everyone knows you're no angel. So now Amanda's in the kitchen. And she really starts to hear them getting into it. So she goes down to the bottom of the stairs and they both come downstairs. Lindsay is saying, like, he's literally the biggest gaslighter I've ever met. So Amanda asks what's going on and she's like, I don't even want to talk in the house. So they go out to, like, the back and she's going off. Like, he wants to pin everything on me when he's a fucking terrorist. He wanted to go out and then he wanted to go home. And I felt like, okay, let's go home. And then as we're in the car, he's picking at me. And I'm like, why are you being so aggressive? And then all of a sudden he starts switching the narrative to, like, oh, you've been drinking, but you're going to accuse me of drinking. You better come clean. So Amanda's just staring at her, like, while she's eating Captain Crunch or something. Lindsay's got an open bottle of Hampton Water Rosé next to her. And Amanda's just like, mm-hmm, let it out, girl. So Lindsay goes on to say, Carl jumped out of the car like a fucking lunatic. And Amanda goes, did he jump out of a moving car? And she goes, no, he said, stop the car. And then he got out. And this is where I'm like, okay, Lindsay, we're telling tall tales here. And you're acting like he stopped, dropped, and rolled out of, like, you know, South whatever, south of the highway that Ramona's always going on about, when he was like, so they probably had barely left the parking lot before he was like, let me out. So then Lindsay goes on to say that everybody thinks that Carl's just like the most amazing human ever, but he's got a lot of demons and it's like a Jekyll and Hyde situation with him. And she's the only human on earth who has seen the bad side of Carl that nobody knows. So Amanda goes, uh-huh. How about we get some sleep tonight? How about we do that, right? So Amanda goes into her own room and she just like puts her back to the wall, hands on her knees, like she just ran a marathon. She's exhausted. Okay. She's hopped up on Captain Crunch and drama. She can't take it anymore. So when everybody gets home, Gabby, for whatever reason, goes straight into Carl and Lindsay's room and sees that only Lindsay is asleep in there. So she goes down and is like, Carl's not in there. And they're like, oh, well, go look in this extra room, the smush room, right? And they see the doors closed. So they're like, okay, well, he must be in there. So Jesse, Carl's tether, is like, this is the second weekend in a row. Like, you guys are an engaged couple. Fucking figure it out. Which he's not wrong about, right? So Gabby tries to take up for her girl Lindsay a little bit. Like, oh, Jesse, have you ever been engaged before? And Jesse's like, no. But, like, you figure it out. So Danielle, this really cracked me up. Danielle is feeling so overwhelmed because she is Captain Save-A-Ho, okay? She has to escort herself to the pool to lay down and take some calming breaths. So she does not get involved in this situation. And she says in a confessional, I know there's tension right now, but it's really testing me because I'm really trying my best not to be part of it, even though it's my instinct not to do that, you know? So before they go to bed, Wes starts flirting with Sierra. And this is where I started noticing, not that I really like ever want to watch anybody make out, but I kept noticing that when he went to kiss her, the camera would just pan away. And I'm thinking, that's very strange because we saw Lindsay attempt to kiss Gabby, or she straight up kissed Gabby and make out with Sierra earlier. So why do they keep cutting away from them, Wes and Sierra, when they kiss? So did you guys notice that? Like, I thought that was very odd. So back to Carl. He's in a confessional and he says, once again, it's unfortunate that these situations aren't on camera for people to see, but I don't have an issue with Lindsay drinking. I have an issue with the fact that her behavior changes when she drinks. And this is a key difference. There are plenty of people who drink and don't turn into this aggressive, detective, volatile, crazy type of person. So the next morning, Carl's getting ready to go out on, you know, a classic run, right? And it's like a young Carl coming out. Young Carl in the form of Jesse coming out to speak to current day Carl to like warn him. Warning his future self about his relationship with Lindsay. So Jesse asks him, like, you've known her for years, right? Like, hasn't she kind of always been like this? And Carl has to be like, yeah, you know, kind of. But I thought as we matured, like, we might get out of this and she would know that I'm not trying to fight her. So Jesse says, well, this is kind of what you signed up for. And then he says in a confessional, look, I've never been engaged. I don't know what I don't know, but I can't imagine that this is how it's supposed to go. Like, shouldn't it be fun? It sounds miserable. Speaking of miserable, Carl and Lindsay are basically playing musical chairs. Like, Lindsay is making it very clear to everybody that she does not even want to be around this man. I don't even want to stare over a plate of bacon at your face, sir. She's sitting down to eat breakfast with the gang. He comes in the kitchen and she's beelining it out the door to the backyard. So he obviously notices they're playing this like passive aggressive patty cake. He opens the door to let her out. I don't need you to open the door. So then he slams the door behind her, like the house shaking slam. Lindsay is going up to Amanda, who is outside anyway, right? And so Amanda's like, okay, Lindsay, what is it? You guys get into these kind of fights. What do you think it is that really starts these fights with you? Lindsay says, the issue for me is with Carl trying to call out my drinking, right? And I will say that that's probably got to be annoying when you want to. And this actually happened to me. I'm just going to admit it. And this was a time where I was not drinking really, but I dated this guy who truly was like, I learned the definition of gaslighting through him. Like, I would have maddening conversations with this kid. But anyway, sometimes when I would get upset, he'd be like, have you been drinking? And I'd be like, no. And first of all, not once have you ever, the man never once in the years that I had been in a situation with him, never once had seen me drinking. Never once had seen me had more than two drinks. So for you to be like, oh, have you been drinking? Oh, God. What the fuck are you talking about? So I understand how that would be annoying. I think there's more happening here with Lindsay. That being said, it's still never gonna, like, if your partner has a go-to of like, oh, what's going, like, oh, like, are you on your period? Have you been drinking? Is this why you're acting irrational? Like, can I point to this reason why you're acting fucking crazy? I would find that annoying too and triggering, but I also think that, like, Lindsay does seem like she's the one who keeps picking, getting him upset, asking him why he gets upset, and then being like, you're a monster. Like, she says whatever the fuck, and then when he reacts, it's like, whoa, what's going on, guy? Why are you acting this way? So Amanda tells her, well, you do keep calling out drugs, and you know that's a sensitive word given his past. And Lindsay's like, 100%. But I bring it up because I find it to be hypocritical. If you're going to judge me for drinking alcohol, why can't I also judge you for smoking weed? And Amanda says, but it feels like it keeps coming back to that. But Lindsay's like, well, don't you find that hypocritical, though? And Amanda has to be like, I can see that, but it also seems like you're not specifying, but you keep saying it. Like, you keep saying you're on drugs, but you're quantifying it with me by saying weed, but you're saying drugs to everybody else. And, like, you're just really not being very specific. And Lindsay goes, no, I was very specific with him yesterday. But, girl, I think she also was under the false impression that these conversations that she had with Gabby were not going to be aired, because that's why she said that in her Instagram alleged apology to Carl. I don't think she actually apologized, but she did say, like, what was supposed to be a private conversation with a girlfriend. When, girl, you're in the fucking summer house and you have a mic pack on. So I think that she is trying to operate, this is why she should be on Traitors, as though we don't have all the information. And she's operating in this realm in which she did not let the fucking chopper spray on her fiance and call him Cocaine Carl. This is how Carl was when he was on cocaine. And she also doesn't know that Amanda, as we find out later, told Carl the drug stuff. Like, he said it to, Lindsay said it to him, but Amanda also made sure to tell Carl that she was saying it to other people as well. So Amanda tells Lindsay, you guys can't fight every Friday that you come to the house. Like, there's got to be something underlying. And then Carl walks out to go to the pool, because they're sitting right at the pool, got the little piggies in, and Lindsay's like, hold on, it's him. Okay, he's turning right. Okay, so now they're having to whisper so they don't hear him. And Amanda says, listen, I really want you guys to work out more than anything. So if you need me advice, if you need me for anything, please come to me. I'm like, okay, Amanda, I don't believe that for a second, but sure. It's a nice thing to say. You know, what else are you going to say in this moment, right? No surprise to me at all. Amanda goes right from this conversation with Lindsay about how fucked up her relationship with Carl is to announcing to everybody that Kyle is doing a really good job at being a great husband this weekend. Once again, their flop is their favor. So after that, Wes and Jesse jump in the pool, and then Kyle and Carl jump in the pool, and it really felt like a full circle moment, and like the prophecy had truly been completed by osmosis. So then the boys all sit around the pool, and they're talking about the fact that, like, Carl, we noticed that you haven't spoken to Lindsay at all today. So he tells them, yeah, I slept downstairs. And they're like, yeah, we know already, but Carl tells him what happened was when they wrapped up dinner last night, he told Lindsay he was tired. He was trying to talk to her. And he said that she was acting like he was trying to start a fight with her. Things started ratcheting up. She was swearing and he was asking her, please don't swear at me. And something about the visual of her, him being like, Lindsay, please no cursing. It's just very funny to me. But she was swearing. He was asking her not to. And again, what are you on, Carl? So then he says, you know, it's going to make me cry a little bit, guys. And he says, listen, I've really worked hard to get where I'm at. And now 2 weekends in a row, she's accused me of being on something and it really hurts. So then Carl says that he accused her of drinking, which does trigger her, and he knows it. And he's wondering, how do things go south so quickly? And, like, as his fiance, she needs to have some sensitivity to the fact that he does not drink. And then he, like, kind of exposes her. He says, after they go to Barry's boot camp, she'll have a glass of rosé. She'll have 3 glasses before they leave the house to go anywhere. How many when they're out? And this is a fact. And this is how she acts when she's drunk. So Kyle tells him, Lindsay told Gabby, this felt like the old Carl, cocaine Carl. And he goes, all right, well, if she wants the old Carl, I'll drink 15 fucking lover boys and burn his fucking house down. And then he throws a can into the yard. And, like, again, like, no shade to Carl and his sobriety or to lover boy, but lover boys are like 2.3% alcohol. So it would take you a good 15 before you could even get a good buzz going. Shout out to Loverboy, though. So on the ride to lunch, they make a joke about, like, oh, who's Jesse going to get in a fight in? So he's in the car with, like, Gabby and, like, some of the other girls. Sierra, probably. I don't know. Not Paige. And he was like, oh, you know, probably Lindsay. I'll probably get in a fight with Lindsay. I'm Team Carl right now. And he's not okay. You know, to work so hard on your sobriety and have your significant other accuse you of shit, that's fucked up. And he's absolutely right. And then Gabby is trying. She's fighting so hard to make this Lindsay thing happen. So she asks Jesse, are you talking about last weekend? He goes, no, it happened again last night. So Gabby says in a confessional, listen, I've had a lot of friends get married, and I know that the months leading up to the wedding are some of the toughest that you'll ever go through. But it's murky at best and extremely shitty at worst to accuse somebody who is sober that they could have compromised their sobriety. And she's going to have to own up to that because it's not okay. So Lindsay says something to Sierra, just like jokingly, passingly, like, oh, I heard you had a nice little makeout session last night. And she sort of plays it off like, oh, brother. But then she, like, goes to Amanda privately and says, listen, I know that we're a house who discusses everything, but I almost wonder what Wes is saying about private matters. And so Amanda tries to make, like, clean it up a little bit in the way that she justifies Kyle's behavior. And I'm like, I don't know. This might be a look in the mirror moment for you, Amanda. But she says, I just feel like Wes gets excited. Like, Kyle will tell people everything that I told him, even though I've explicitly told him not to. He just gets excited. You know, like, he can't keep it in. He's, you know, like golden retriever kind of energy, right? Like, he just had a little, let a little pee out. So Sierra says in a confessional, I don't like a guy who kisses and tells, and I tend to move really slow, and this is not what I'm into, so it kind of makes me not want to move fast, like, makes me want to not move at all. Sierra, would it be better if maybe West made out with Lindsay on the side of the house? Would you like him more if he did that? You don't want him to talk about the fact that y'all made out. What if he embarrassed the fuck out of you in front of everybody? Would you like that more, Sierra? Y'all, you knew, everybody knew that you were feeling him. And now all of a sudden, when it's like, could possibly be a thing, now you want to take everything off the table, Sierra? That doesn't make sense. I could understand if you said all of these things, if they were true, but they just don't feel true when we roll that beautiful bean footage back and all the things that you did with Austin. Didn't really seem like you had a problem with that. You know, it's just kind of giving, like, maybe you're just not that into West, and that sucks because you should be. And I'm not really getting, like, what it was about Austin that was so so much of a turn on to you, other than the fact that he would, like, gaslight you, put a little, you know, I honestly don't really know what it is that he was giving to you, even in the best of times, but it was giving, like, he had a little fishing pole, and whatever was attached to it that you were attracted to, you just chase it while I was reeling it in, and then throw it back out, and then you go throw it back out again, and then he's like, oh, I'm actually gonna give my tackle or whatever, I don't fish, to Lindsay Hub House Hubbard at the side of your mansion, and then I'm gonna try to reel you in again. How you feel about that? And then I'm going to ask you how it feels to know that I made out with your roommate. Would that be better? Because you keep talking about how funny Austin was and how you had funny, and you don't want that again. We haven't seen any of that footage, but what we have seen is him treated like an absolute fucking dirtbag. And all West has done is just, like, confirm that you guys kissed, which is not really that bad in my book, so... I don't know, Sierra. I'm finding all this a little bit frustrating. Anyway, after that, Kyle and Carl start gossiping about how they're not really sure where Lindsay's head is at because Carl thinks that she should be coming to him. Like, after this fight we had, she needs to be coming to me to have this conversation. And Kyle says, okay, well, they're, like, talking gossip strategy. Like, they're the chattiest of patties. Kyle says, okay, well, I'm going to ask Amanda. She was there last night, so I'm going to ask Amanda where Lindsay's head is at, right? So he takes Amanda aside in the very strangest way because he goes up to Sierra and Amanda, who are both wearing black tops, and he says, like, something about that being weird for you guys to be wearing black outside in the summer. And Amanda's like, no, actually, for, you know, those of us who, you know, got an undercarriage, Tiggle Bitty Club, it's actually good because it hides how much you're sweating. And so Kyle goes, all right, well, why don't you go for a walk with me so we can dry out your undercarriage? I have to talk to you about something. So he takes her aside and he says, it sounds like maybe Amanda wanted Kyle to come home with her that night. So he was trying to say, like, oh, I was actually going to go home with Carl and Lindsay, but I could kind of feel like something weird was about to happen. So Amanda says, listen, I think it's perfectly normal to fight before a wedding, but clearly what's going on with Carl and Lindsay is a lot deeper. And Kyle tells her, whether they're sober or drunk, communication is at the forefront of their issues, and they're kind of at the forefront of our issues. And actually, if I was going to give Carl and Lindsay a compliment, I would say that they do a lot of work to try to improve their communication. So Amanda says, well, I think we're actually in a much better place than we used to be. Like, there were cracks that were starting to form, but we did get to seal them up before things got worse. Kyle goes, yeah, we stuck that finger in the dike. And Amanda, like, it's like she short-circuited trying to figure out if that was offensive or not. Because she just goes, oh. And she freezes. So Kyle says to Amanda, I would really like to go to therapy again. And Amanda's like, yeah, that's going to be a no for me, dog. Not right now. If you have something that you want to talk to a therapist about, I think you should. And Kyle's like, no, that's not the point. And Amanda goes, honestly, I'm PMSing right now. I don't want to do shit. Catch me on a good day, maybe I'll say yes. So now, well, is that, like, annoying, you guys? Is that annoying of Amanda to say? Because she had been being like, this man. I mean, what we can say. I already told you guys my theory that I'm pretty sure that there is some sort of dynamic that Amanda is unhappy with behind closed doors. And then she gets in front of people and starts popping the fuck off. And the problem is that people don't know what's going on behind closed doors with them. They only see her popping off. And so it's just like, damn, what's her problem? And so that kind of ends up, unfortunately for her, working in Kyle's favor. But then you have these moments where he is actively, like, they went out to lunch and he said, I want us to try to get back to where we started from. And he's saying, I would like to go to therapy. And she's like, not right now. I'm good. It kind of takes the wind out of my sails to give you any sort of points and credit, Amanda, because you can't say that he's not trying. Not, at least not in this moment, you know? So anyway, Carl's just been walking around. He's been walking around in a two-piece Hawaiian print short set and a white bucket hat. It's been a lot. I didn't want to talk about it, but I'm a truth teller. an investigative journalist, and I have to tell you, you have to paint the whole picture, okay? He's just been strolling around there, trying to get Lindsay to pay attention to him and start a conversation. And so he goes up to Lindsay, and Lindsay's, like, hanging out with the group, but she's sitting on the ground. He squats down, and he's like, are you comfortable over there, Lindsay? Sitting on the ground, is that comfortable? She's like, yeah, I'd be, like, a lot more comfortable than squatting. So it's like, all right, do you want to go over there and talk right now? And now they're like an audience. They have an audience. I don't even think they know it, but they go off to these stairs. But Kyle and Danielle are keeping watch over at the bar. Everybody else is watching from where they've been sitting. It's like, this is a total shit show. So Kyle and Danielle are there, right? They're watching them go out to talk. And Danielle says, it's another weekend of them having a serious chat. I really want them to figure it out. I want to figure it out for them. But I can't be that friend. I can't be the friend that does that right now. Nobody's asking you to. And they never have, which might be part of your problem, Danielle. Like, Danielle, the fact that you're having to physically remove yourselves from situations to shut yourself up, that's concerning, babe. It's a good first step, but it's still concerning. Having to take healing breaths to keep yourself from another person's relationship.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
That's a lot. Anyway, so then Lindsay says, I want to hear your perspective on things last night. And Carl says, I wasn't doing drugs, Lindsay. That's my perspective. So Lindsay says, I never once accused you of doing drugs. I asked if you smoked weed. And he goes, no, you asked me if I was on something. And so Lindsay is like, well, you shut down at the restaurant. You know that, right? And Carl says, I'm a guy who doesn't drink. You saw what I was doing all day. I communicated to you that I was tired. I really don't think that invites you to need me to explain anything more to you. So then Lindsay goes, well, it wasn't very communicative. You know, and I'm just trying to get to the root of what's going on, and you're just being really aggressive. So Carl is like, that's really unfair because you were actually the one being aggressive. And we got into the lift. You were swearing. You were raising your voice. You were telling me I was on something. And so Lindsay is now like, so you're changing the narrative on how it went down. And Carl's like, no, I'm not. There's what happened and what I experienced. So this kind of goes back to like what I think, like Lindsay clearly thinks that she does not know that everybody has as much information as to what she said as they do. So now she's being like, I didn't accuse you of being on drugs or being on anything. Again, cocaine Carl, cocaine Carl. He seems like he was on cocaine. Are you on something? And she knows he smokes weed. We've been known this because it was such a point of contention with Lindsay and Maya season premiere of last season, right? Where she was like so upset with Maya. How dare you smoke weed with my friend? How dare you, after Celebrity Family Feud that we filmed, that you ask Carl to smoke weed with you like you guys usually do? And how dare you do that? Because I chose to be sober for him for a couple of months before entering the summer house again. And I remember thinking, I was just talking to Liz Bentley about this, how that was like such a bad sign for me right off the bat. Like, she wants Maya to be responsible for her sobriety that she chose, that clearly she doesn't want to do. She really needs to look at her drinking. I'm not going to say that, like, I think we might just be in, like, you know, I'm not a drug and alcohol specialist, so I'm talking out of my ass here. Like, don't take it too seriously, you know, but it does. I don't know if Lindsay's, like, an alcoholic. I think she is, she clearly does not act appropriately when she drinks. I think a lot of this is insecurity, and then she gets some liquid courage and pops the fuck off, but, and, like, spirals. I think she clearly does not have a healthy relationship with alcohol. Would I go so far as to say alcoholism? No, but again, it's not my place to say anyway, right? I just think clearly, like, there's something going on and it's not great. She's using it to, like, share her feelings. And I also have, like, not necessarily done this stuff, but I've definitely been in a situation where you kind of are asking for it would not be the right term, but your behavior and your actions become a self-fulfilling prophecy where you think that this guy is treating you this way, he's treating you poorly, and you are kind of trying to advocate for yourself because you perceive him to be acting this way. And also, he's probably pulling away from you emotionally, and so you don't know what to do with that, and that's like another emotional freak out and flail. And now what's happening with their relationship is that their relationship is no fun. It's just them rehashing and trying to win an argument, and your relationship is done at that point, you know what I mean? Because y'all aren't giggling. You're kissing, let's say, have a good weekend on a Sunday afternoon, and you make it to there, and then by Friday again, you're fighting again. So, you know. So Lindsay says to Carl, "You act like you're the calmest human ever." And he says, "Not all the time." And she goes, "No, you're angry a lot. And last night you were angry." Carl says, "That's gaslighting. You got in the car. You were already angry with me because you didn't understand why I wanted to go home. I tried to be calm. I didn't yell and scream at you. And you went in on me like, are you on something?" So Lindsay goes, "Do you smoke weed?" And Carl says, "Yeah." She goes, "Okay, so why is that hurtful to you?" Carl says, "Because you accused me of being on drugs and you know I smoke weed." So she's like, "Well, why are you so hurt by me asking like that?" And this is like the shit that pisses me off in arguments. You know why. You're trying to get off on a technicality, but that same technicality that you're trying to get off on is the exact same reason why you shouldn't be saying that shit. So, you know, we could go around in circles, but it still ends up with you being wrong, ma'am. So there's that. So she's like, "Well, so it's okay for you to ask me if I've had a drink, but it's not okay for me to ask you if you smoke weed." And he goes, "No, you asked me if I smoke weed. I told you no. You told me you're a liar. And I said, I didn't smoke weed. And you called me a fucking liar." So now he's now getting to the point where he's upset and raising his voice. And I'm saying he's raising his voice like I'm raising my voice now, not yelling, just an escalated, elevated tone. Somebody who's pissed off that he's having to explain why he's mad when she was in the conversation and participated in the reason why he's mad. I would be raising my voice too. And I know that I'm a Carl stan, but I also, this is Women's Month, bitch. Like, I don't want to have to be standing for this man that much. Okay? Like, I still have my brain, kind of, some of it. You know, I have some sense. I'm not that dumb. But you're leaving me with not a whole lot of choice here, Lindsay. Okay? So then she's like, "Why are you screaming?" And he's like, "I'm upset. I don't treat you like that." And Lindsay goes, "Oh, you don't? Look how you're treating me right now, man." She's going full Bart Simpson, okay? "Look at you having a cow, man." So Lindsay goes, "You don't think you treated me the exact same way in the Uber?" And Carl goes, "It was a Lyft." "And guess what? I didn't. You started insulting me and saying I did drugs. And if you don't understand that, we have real problems." So then Lindsay's like, "Lower your tone. Take a lap." So he says, "You kept swearing in the car." And she gets up and goes, "You're changing the narrative. I knew this. I knew this is why we were not ready to have a conversation. I knew you were too angry, screaming at me again. I can't." Kyle's now watching Lindsay because she's making a beeline back to her and Danielle. And he goes, "Oh, oh no, she just walked away." So Lindsay walks up to them and she's like, "He's too angry. He was screaming at me. I knew this would happen." So Danielle's like, "I need to excuse myself. Probably take some, go down to the water and take some more healing breaths, Danny, until it feels good." Meanwhile, Jesse and Amanda practically ran over to Carl down by the stairs to ask him what happened. And he tells them she's doubling down on the fact that she questioned me, that questioning me on doing drugs is valid. And she's rationalizing her drunkenness. And then he tells Amanda, like, "I'm just at a total loss because there's such a disconnect between what I know happened and how she's interpreting it into this completely other thing that I don't think happened." And Amanda says, "Listen, you know we've all felt that way in the past with arguments with her, so we understand." And Carl said, "Well, that's what's so scary, because I've witnessed it before, but as her partner and a lover, it's not easy." So Kyle tells Lindsay at the bar, "Listen, it's not that Carl wants to accuse you of drinking, but when you act irrational..." And Lindsay goes, "When was I acting irrational?" And Kyle says, "Well, last weekend, I would say you actually acted wildly irrational." And then he tells her, "Listen, in terms of last night's car ride, Carl told me that he did everything he could to try to defuse the situation." Oh, that's what he said? Okay. So then Lindsay basically accuses Kyle of always taking Carl's side, which he does. And he goes, "Well, he isn't that vocal. Like, I know your side. You're very vocal about it, and you make it known." So everybody comes back to the house. Terror. Lindsay gets in bed, her bed with Carl, and starts getting emotional. Gabby comes in, and she's like, "I just don't understand why we can't communicate." Carl walks into the bedroom, and he's like, "I'm just going to go to the bathroom." She runs. She practically runs out and goes into Gabby's room. So now they're playing, like, frog leaping rooms. So Gabby tells her, "Listen, what I can hear from Carl is that he is most hurt about the fact that he doesn't feel heard. Did you say that he wasn't sober last night?" And she goes, "Well, I told him that if he was going to judge me for drinking alcohol, then what do you do?" And so at that point, Carl knocks on Gabby's door. Lindsay runs into the bathroom and closes the door. And Carl sees that she closed the door and he goes, "Lindsay, I'm sorry." And then he leaves. So Lindsay comes out of the bathroom. What did he say? He said he's sorry, Lindsay. I can't. So Gabby tells her, "I don't want you to feel this way. Like, I really think you guys need to start communicating better." "You think, Gabby?" So Lindsay says, "You don't think I know that, Gabby? You don't think I know that?" And Gabby goes, no, like, "I don't think it's your fault, but what is your responsibility is knowing your partner and knowing how to effectively communicate in a way that he can understand. Everything's always on me. Everything in this relationship is always on me. Nobody takes the time to understand what it's like to be constantly judged." So now she's running. She's running again. Forrest fucking Gump over here. Gabby starts being like, "Girl, you can't be married in like 6 months or 4 months or whatever." Lindsay starts walking out. "I can't have this stupid conversation." And the episode ends with Lindsay in a highlighter green maxi dress and Birkenstocks, mumbling to herself down the driveway, not even bothering to open the gate. She's just shimmying her way through it, being like, "Why is it so fucking hard?" Just walking down the street. I don't even think there's a sidewalk outside of that house. God bless. Summer should be fun. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for speaking. Love you. Bye.